morning. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. And one of the ways you can learn about how we are church together is to check out your bulletin. There are calendars and announcements about worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone sitting around you. There will also be an elder from session who stands at the communion table who is there to receive any questions, comments, or concerns that you might have. And also, your hospitality register is a great way to communicate any questions, and also for us to greet one another by name. So you'll see that at the end of the pew. Make sure you sign it and pass it along. There are a few announcements this morning. Sherry, if you would get started.
Good morning. We had a little yard sale yesterday. Thank you so much to everyone that's helped this year and the past 8 years. This was my last rodeo, so thank you all very much. We did a little over $4,200 yesterday, which is, yes. Thank you all. There are still opportunities to pick the pile after worship. The deacons will be serving punch by the tent conveniently. So please, you know, come out, make us an offer, and take what you'd like. Moving on till next week is Carol Ann's celebration. We have RSVP so far for almost 370 people, which is awesome. What that means is that parking is going to be a premium, so if people can park next door at the office park, that'd be great. Carpooling would be appreciated. Anything you can do to help us with that. The refrigerator, we're going to need every cubic centimeter of space, so if you have stuff in there that doesn't need to be in there and could remove it, that would be helpful as well. And coolers, if anyone has those small SUV-sized coolers, that would be good. And the price of admission next week is a non-perishable food item that will be donated to SWEM and or Cameron in Caroline's honor. So we hope to see everyone next week, and thanks for all your help with the yard sale. My partner, Barb.
Just a few other details. We need some help with the marinating of, I think, a grilling of the chicken for the Jamaican dinner. And there's a sign-up sheet outside on the kiosk, probably about 8 or 9 more people. And that's at 12 noon on Saturday, the day before. And hopefully some of the youth can help us with cleanup and also with anyone that needs help getting food. But it'll be a wonderful event, and we thank you very much.
Jim, I saw you.
Good morning. My name is Jim Madaw, and I have the privilege of being the chair of Budget and Stewardship this year. Two things. First of all, a big thank you to those of you who responded already for our second mile appeal. And just another reminder that the session would appreciate responses by the end of June so we can figure out what the next step is in our budget process. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you sure? You don't want to make an announcement? You're sure? Okay, Carol Ann doesn't have any announcements. It's her last opportunity, just making sure. Next week, okay. Make sure you've got a long list of announcements then. All right. Well, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God together.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. The Lord of mysteries shall reveal what is hidden.
The God of wonders shall unveil the unknown.
In the night, God will whisper great secrets to our hearts.
At dawn, we shall shout them from the tops of our houses.
Hear and understand, see and perceive. To us, God will give the secrets of the kingdom.
We can be assured that when we confess our sins, God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we don't want you to disrupt our peace. We like things the way they are. We trust the economy of this world rather than your economy of love. We don't let you interrupt our comfort and complacency. We want life to be easy, not more complicated. Forgive us for turning away from you in our words and our actions. God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Jesus does not say that discipleship is easy. He says that we are called to serve and that he will be with us. That is truly good news. Our service will be supported and encouraged by our Lord, who has healed and restored us. Rejoice, for we have been called and made whole by the love of God. Amen.
Thank you. children forward. Good morning. So who's finished school for this year? Anybody? You got a few more days to go? Next week you get out? Are you excited? Got good summer plans? Well, something very big happened here yesterday. We had a yard sale. A big yard sale. Who came to the yard sale? Oh, it looks like all of you came to the yard sale. And you know how big it was. Did you get some good treasures? Yeah, there's lots of really good things about the yard sale. But one thing I like about the yard sale is it encourages me to clean out things I don't need anymore. In fact, this year I donated a big box of dishes. I hadn't used those dishes in 20 years. I'm thinking I didn't need them anymore. And the nice thing is that now I have this big space in my attic that's completely empty. I made space for something else. You know, yesterday I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had a behavior yard sale? That we could bring all the things that aren't working for us in the way we behave, leave them at the yard sale, and make space for different kinds of behavior. Like, sometimes I get angry, so I could take my anger to the yard sale, and then I'd have space to be more patient. Or I could take my greed to the yard sale and have space to be more generous. Or I could take, you know, sometimes if I'm mean, I could take my meanness to the yard sale. And then I'd have space to be nicer. I wish it was that easy. But it's not always so easy, is it? You know, Jesus tells us it's sometimes hard to do the right things. And in the story that Melissa's going to read in just a few minutes, Jesus tells his disciples, it's very difficult to follow Jesus. And sometimes you have to do hard, hard things. And sometimes you may even get laughed at about that. But Jesus tells his disciples that God wants us to try very hard to do the things that God wants us to do, to be loving and generous and to be good people and to follow Jesus. Let's have a prayer. Oh God, help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. Help us to follow you. Amen. All right, you may go back to your families. Have a great week. I'll be thinking about you.
The first reading of the word today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
To be honest, we need a song like that to help us with the gospel reading for this morning. From the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus teaches, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have been called the master of the house, Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. I'm going to date myself a bit, so bear with me. One of my favorite movies as a child was The Karate Kid. Not the remake from a few years ago, I'm a bit older than that, but the 1984 original. And maybe if you've seen it, you remember Mr. Miyagi. And he's going to teach the angst-filled teenager named Daniel. And Miyagi agrees on one condition. Daniel must submit totally to his instruction and never question his methods. So Daniel shows up fresh-faced at Mr. Miyagi's, eager to learn. And to his disappointment, Mr. Miyagi has him paint a fence and demonstrates the precise motion. Down, up, and down. And it takes days for Daniel to finish the job. And when he returns, Mr. Miyagi next has him scrub the deck using specific strokes. And again, the job takes days, and Daniel is getting increasingly frustrated. But shows up again, and Mr. Miyagi has Daniel in the very iconic scene wash and wax his cars. You may remember. Wax on, you know it. Wax off. And this is the point when Daniel has finally had enough. I thought you were going to teach me karate, but all I've done is chores for you. Ah, Daniel has broken Mr. Miyagi's one condition. To which he then responds, I have been teaching you karate. Now defend yourself. And Miyagi makes a move at Daniel, who instinctively defends him with an arm motion, exactly like the one used in the chores. And after Daniel successfully defends himself from several more blows, Miyagi simply walks away, leaving Daniel to discover what the master has known all along. Skill comes from listening to the master. And this morning, I am challenged by the master, not Mr. Miyagi, but Jesus, who in these verses from the Gospel of Matthew explains to his disciples what it means to follow him. As Jesus gives these instructions, he starts rattling off a bunch of little sentences that on first glance or first hearing just seem to kind of be mishmashed all together. We get words about disciples and teachers, slaves and masters, covering and uncovering, whispered secrets in the dark, and bold proclamations in the light of day about souls and bodies and sparrows and hair, about acknowledging Jesus and about denying him. And then that very fun bit about peace and swords and family tensions, careful in your application of that with your mother-in-law, that turn violent. And finally, there are words about love, about the cross, about losing our lives for Christ's sake. The little sentences do seem to just be strung together, but as we go deeper, as we look for those themes and those trends, a pattern begins to emerge. Jesus is talking to the 12 about what it means to follow him. It's really important to remember that Jesus speaks differently to people at different times in these Gospels. And what he says to one person is very different than what he might say to someone else or a huge crowd. And this passage, he is not talking to a huge crowd like he did on the Sermon on the Mount. These aren't just casual bystanders flocked to him to see a miracle either. These are not the people who have been the primary recipients of Jesus' acts of love and compassion and healing. The words we are hearing this morning are to those Jesus has called to be instruments through which the love of God will be shared with the world. These are the people who have left their lives behind because they want to follow him, or maybe I should say that they heard the call to follow him. These are his disciples. And they're getting ready to head out into the world to proclaim the good news of the gospel message. And they're going to find it's not always as easy as it sounds to do ministry in Jesus' name. Not everyone's going to be hospitable, welcoming to what Jesus has to say and what Jesus is doing in the world. Some people are simply going to reject you because you're associated with this guy named Jesus, who at this point in the gospel message is becoming quite controversial. Dare I say, even political. Some people are really scoffing at what Jesus has to say and what he's been doing. People are thinking that he shouldn't be trusted. They're talking about him behind his back. And if the disciples are headed out into that environment to do ministry in Jesus' name, well, Jesus wants them to have a bit of a heads up, to know that they might experience what he has been. And so Jesus offers this little, what some commentators call, a pep talk. I wouldn't call it that. But Jesus wants to remind them who they are and whose they are. They are disciples. They work for Jesus. Not for anybody else. Not for themselves. They have bonded themselves to his service the way a slave in this ancient time is bonded to his master. And because they are disciples of this particular master, they can't expect to suffer the same insults and criticisms the master himself experiences. It's not going to be easy. But the disciples are to stand up for Jesus, his teachings, and their faith. And we as contemporary listeners might wonder, so is Jesus talking to us? His words suggest that we should automatically expect opposition because we're Christians. But we might think that sounds like someone else's problem. Here in our context, in our culture, in our time, we don't really fear for our lives when we come to worship or we say Jesus' name. There are places in the world where being a Christian is life-threatening. But I'm going to say it's safe to say that none of us here have ever really felt that. And that's not to say that our values and our faith aren't challenged in our everyday lives. I know that they are. And this week, I had an opportunity to be part of a community who had great hope, in fact, that our faith will challenge the values of this world. This week, the biennial gathering of the Presbyterian Church USA brought together commissioners and advisory delegates from across our denomination to meet together in Detroit, Michigan, and make decisions impacting our life together as a church and the ways our faith challenges the values of this world. So being the Presbyterian nerd that I am, I drove the 6 hours to attend opening worship and watch the moderator's election and testify in committees on a few matters. Upon my return from Rochester, I was able to tune into the plenary debates and conversations via live streaming on the internet. Some get excited about World Cup soccer. For me, it's General Assembly. Different people like different things. This year, there were a number of issues before the General Assembly to consider. Many of these have been before General Assemblies for years, including trying to figure out ways that a denominational structure can fit into a rapidly changing church, the addition of a new confession to our Book of Confessions, understanding how our church defines marriage, and also exploring our Christian faith in relationship to other religions. I would say for most folks, and you may have even seen the headline on Huffington Post or the New York Times, the decision allowing for same-sex marriages. The decision sends to the presbyteries, so our regional governing body, for a vote to change our constitutional language, defining marriage as one man and one woman to two people. And in the meantime, another measure, not needing presbytery approval, allows for clergy to preside at same-sex marriage where it is legal to do so by law. A lot of conversations will continue about this, and I encourage you, if you have questions about how this impacts our life together here at GPC, please don't hesitate to call or stop by my office, and I'm happy to share more about that. And I know that the issue has caused great divide, as I've seen it in our whole entire denomination and our society. But the vote passed by more than a majority. Though the vote was substantial, it was interesting to me, having been to many General Assemblies, that same-sex marriage did not solicit the same amount of energy and attention it has in previous assemblies. As I attended this year, it fascinated me how much attention focused on where our denomination invests or divests its money. The big one, which you may also have seen in the headlines, was whether or not the PCUSA ought to divest pension and foundation funds from three companies used by the Israeli government in Palestinian territories for acts of violence. The issue is incredibly complex, and I'm not going to try to explain it from the pulpit this morning. I encourage you to sit down and talk with me, or if you prefer, the Presbyterian Church USA website has a lot of information about it. And another matter, though, did not receive as much attention was that the Assembly overwhelmingly recommended that publicly traded corporations directly managing or operating for-profit prisons and jails and detention centers will be added to the list of companies for which the denomination urges divestment and prohibits future investment. But here's what I found most interesting. It was the passion of the young adult advisory delegates between the ages of 17 and 23 years old. This group worked tirelessly to urge the assembly to divest from all fossil fuel company stocks and bonds. In fact, the overture itself has this great story. It came out of a congregation where a youth group led the way in transforming a church into an ecologically sustainable food production system. This youth group worked with the session to move the congregation to be a prominent voice in climate change in their community and congregation. And reinvigorated by the passion of their youth, the congregation supported when the youth said that they wanted to take an overture to the General Assembly, urging the denomination to divest their funds from fossil fuel companies as an act of demonstrating their theological and moral responsibility to care for the environment. It was the youth who took the overture to the presbytery, spoke to the presbytery gathered, and then went on to the General Assembly. They spoke with those youth advisory delegates who were so passionate from their places of deep faith. And they spoke fearlessly about the effects of fossil fuels on God's creation. And it was not a popular opinion. They were discounted frequently for their age, for not understanding the complexities of business or our dependence on such important things. But they stood, speaking with courage and conviction in front of thousands of people. And their voices continued, even when the assembly did not support their attempts, to put forth a faith they believe challenged the values of the world. I was deeply inspired by the voices of a generation who aren't the future of the church, but who demonstrated that they are the church. They wanted their congregation and presbytery and denomination to know. They believe that Jesus is talking to them, and they want to see change in this world. They believe Jesus is talking to them and teaching them. They believe they are bold enough to be an instrument of God's grace and a representative of the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ in this world. They listen. We have the opportunity to listen and to learn from the Master and follow him. Wax on, wax off. Thanks be to God. This morning, we are going to take an opportunity to share together the ways in which we confess our faith. I spoke earlier about the Book of Confessions. Great, wonderful book. This is not the most recent. Once it passes the presbyteries, we will have a new confession. But this is the one that was written in the 1990s upon reconciliation of our denomination. And we're going to take a section of it this morning and say it together. This is from the Brief Statement of Faith. You will see it in your bulletin. But if you care to do so, the whole entire confession is in your hymnal on page 38. Please stand together in body or spirit. Let us affirm our faith together. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people's long silence, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy, joyful lives. Even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus," with believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
would ask Tom Ward, elected to serve as elder, Bev Lamfrom, elected to serve as deacon, and Ginny Barley, elected to serve as a trustee, to please come forward. Hey, I knew I saw Ginny somewhere. Come on over. Grateful for your willingness to serve and to hear God's call, we ask you the following constitutional questions. Friends, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's word to you? Do you? And do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you? And will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? And will you be governed by our church's polity? Will you abide in its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you? And will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you? Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
Tom, will you be a faithful elder watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Do we, the members of this church, accept Tom Ward as an elder chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And do we agree to encourage him to respect his decisions and to follow as he guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
We do.
Beth, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Do we, the members of the church, accept Bev Lamfrom as deacon, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please say we do. Do we agree to encourage her, to respect her decisions, and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? If so, please say we do.
And do we, as members of the church, also accept Ginny Barley as a trustee chosen by God, the voice of this congregation, to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, fulfilling her fiduciary responsibility? Do we? Do we agree to encourage her and to respect her decisions, to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we?
We do.
Yay. Friends, we celebrate the gifts that God has blessed each of these folks with for ministry, and you are now installed officially as an elder and a deacon and a trustee, serving the Church of Jesus Christ for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the light of Christ in this world. Friends, let us pray together. Gracious God, you have called each of us by name to be a part of your family. We thank you for the special gifts blessed upon those here today who are responding to your call in fulfilling particular roles in the life of the church. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, whom you call through baptism as your own and marked as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Congratulations. Be seated. It's all right, Jenny. I can get a hug later. Congratulations.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concerns.
Jim Poole. It's getting harder to stand up every year. Prayers for Sue and Amanda. They're starting a journey from Fort Worth to Washington, D.C., that I call the belly of the beast. Amanda will be starting a new job there as a... I can't think of it, but she'll be working in a charter school. One more thing. Once again, your prayer of confession has lit a fire in my belly. And I don't see what kind of peace that can be disrupted, quite frankly. I don't like things the way they are. I don't trust the economy of the world or the U.S. And as far as interrupting my comfort and complacency, when I get complacent, I get in trouble and I cause trouble for people around me. So I would love to be interrupted. And I do ask for forgiveness for feeling a lot of these things. So,
amen.
Thank you.
Jan Buettner, I'd just like to ask prayers for a family, I don't want to name their name, but tragically lost their dad this week. He was thought the only way he could take care of things was to take his own life. He left a little 4-year-old boy, so prayers for this family. Thank you.
Jesse Wuchon, just would like to ask for prayers for a family of a former co-workers of mine, great guy, Tom Benedetto, who worked with him for over 25 years. And he'd been suffering from MS and passed away this week. Again, prayers for his wife and 3 daughters. Thank you.
Hope you don't mind, Deb. All of you know Mary Horn, who is in critical condition. And I look around, and I know she will feel all of our prayers if we do it together and be blessed that she's a good friend.
Tom Ward, recently the Guatemala Partners Mission Group of this church has submitted a grant proposal to Genesee Valley Presbytery, and so I'm asking for your prayers that if it be God's will, that the grant might be approved. As you can guess with Presbyterians, there's a bit of a process involved, and so... if it is approved... it'll move our mission group into a completely new phase, and it'll bring a lot of hope to the people of Guatemala that we've been working with. So please, I ask for your prayers.
Thank you.
I just want everybody to give a round of applause to Sherry for the many years with the yard sale. It wouldn't have been a success without her.
Amen.
To make prayers for my teacher who was substituting for my other teacher who had gotten another job. He is prayers of joy because he got the job for another year. So.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us into the places in this world that are thirsting for your grace and care, and we hear your voice, yet we wonder what it means in our own lives. We ask that you grant us courage to follow you, responding to you with determination to be your disciple. This morning we come praying for peace in our world. Our heart sinks as we hear of the warfare in Iraq, the military buildup in Russia, and the unrest in Central America. Discouragement begins to creep in our thoughts. Embolden us, O God, so that we might once again advocate for peace, confident that peace is possible. Work through world leaders as they determine appropriate reaction and responses to the crises around the world. And we pray for the children from Central America who have crossed our borders in search of hope. We pray for their parents whose desperation is unimaginable to us. And we lift to you the humanitarian workers caring for their needs. Open pathways to us so that we may respond with compassion. We pray for all who are going through difficult times, those that were voiced this morning, and those who are in our hearts. We pray for Mary Horn and Lynn Smythe and their families. We yearn to wrap our care around them. Guide us to ways in which we can do so. May they know that their church family is praying for them. Oh God, we ask you now to listen and to hear as we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We recognize that you are greater than any of our attempts to describe you. We have come to a time in the service to say thank you with our economic resources, our money. May everything we do in this worship service express gratitude, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we offer, the words that we read, the conversations that we have, and even these gifts that we now make to spread the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Created for the organ so they could come together and play. Such a beautiful, beautiful way to praise God and to remember as we go from this place, we carry the cross of Christ who challenges us out into this world where the values of the kingdom will not always be accepted, but go knowing that the love of God is always with you, the grace of Christ surrounds you, and the courage of the Holy Spirit. It's with us now and always. Alleluia. Amen.